A Little Girl and a Flower. This is a Christmas tale. Stories, folklore, legends, leyendas, cuentos y más. This is Spooky Tales. Listen, escuchen at your own risk. Hi, this is Christina.
And this is MJ.
And this is a Spooky Tales. If you're new here, welcome, welcome. And if you're coming back, thank you. We lied last episode. We're not covering shadow people.
Yes, we're not. That's going to be for next episode.
Yes, we are going to talk about Christmas today, just because this is coming out on Christmas and we celebrate Christmas. So if you don't like Christmas, you can skip ahead. At the end, there's going to be a scary story.
Yeah.
So if you hate Christmas, no.
You Grinch. You wait, who was the... No, it wasn't just the Grinch. What was the other one with the ghost, the guy?
Scrooge.
Oh, was it Scrooge?
Yeah, right?
I don't remember.
I remember the Disney.
Because you said Christmas Scrooge movie. And then I thought Scrooge McDuck.
Oh.
Hold on, I gotta Google.
Well, isn't Scrooge a duck in the Disney, in the Mickey Mouse like Christmas tale or something? What is that called? No, it's not a Christmas story. But it's like Mickey is like, and there's like a ghost of Christmas past, and like there's like a poor kid named Timmy. Okay, yeah,
there is a Scrooge, and he is part of the Christmas Carol. But then Disney did a character based on him, and it's one of Donald Duck's uncle, Scrooge McDuck.
Yes,
for some reason, it went straight to Scrooge McDuck, not the the Disney version, not the Muppets version.
I mean, if you don't celebrate Christmas, but you're like curious about it, you know, you can stay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy. I don't know anything about like other holidays, but I know Hanukkah is like big in El Salvador. There's a lot of Jewish people there. So happy Hanukkah, and like Kwanzaa is another one, right?
Yes. I think that's the only three I know. Let me see. Should I Google holidays in December? Let me see.
So we can say happy all of them.
Happy
or should
all
we
of
just
them.
Say happy holidays?
Oh, wow. Christmas just... And then people are like, you hate Christmas, Christina.
Well, I don't even like Christmas that much either.
I like the food.
Christmas is fine. But for me, I'm not here for the celebration of Christmas and like the birth of Jesus. I'm here for the tamales. Because I'm not like super religious myself, so my favorite holiday is Halloween.
My favorite holiday is Halloween too. Christmas is my second favorite. I did grow up in a very strict Catholic home, and I'm like somewhat a believer. I'm not really into the religion anymore because I think the people who are like crazy about it ruined it for me. So I just do my own religion in my own way because I don't want to be associated with people like that.
Yeah, sometimes I'm like atheist. Other times I'm like agnostic. And then if something scary is happening, I'm like, oh my God, Santa Maria, Madre de Dios, ayúdame.
Just in case.
So I'm just all over the place.
Just a little. What is it? Just a little suspicious?
Yeah.
Eggnog day is on the 24th of December.
Interesting. I do not like eggnog.
I do. But there was this one time I drank too much and I threw up and I can't drink it like the same way.
Okay. So yeah, happy holidays. And today we're talking about Christmas.
Yes, Christmas. I love Christmas just because I'm like that crafty person that what's it called? The person that goes all out during Christmas. I'm just that
That's
person.
That's true, you do. I love your decorations that you put up like on Instagram and stuff.
It's like today when you texted me and I was like, take your time, I'm like shopping. I was like ordering a bunch of crafts to do. like literally like a bunch of like things from Michael's so me and the kids could do later this week.
We're going to start off with a Christmas legend. So if you actually, do people here decorate with this flower too?
Yeah, they do.
I recognize it. It's everywhere, right? I see it
all the time at, like, Walmart, in decorations. Like, any, where they, oh, what are those places that sell plants?
Like, nurseries?
Yeah, I see them all the time.
Which I totally thought were daycares for the longest time. Was like a few months ago that my husband was like, no, they don't sell babies there. I was like, shit, why is it called a nursery? Wow, okay. Plants? So we're going to be sharing a legend about this Christmas flower. It has a name, but I'm going to call it either in Spanish or its other name. So we call it La Flor de Noche Buena, the flower of, like, Christmas Eve, or Quetzalcóchil. Quetzalcóchil is its original name. It's a flower indigenous to Mexico, and it's, like, synonymous with Christmas now. It's everywhere. This legend is from the time of the Spanish conquest, and it took place in a town in Guerrero, Mexico. There was a little girl who was anxiously awaiting Christmas. Her father could not find work that year, and so they had nothing to offer to baby Jesus at the midnight mass. She had no candy, no toys, and no fruit. And this made the little girl very sad. Her family walked up to the church, and on the way there, the little girl was so embarrassed that she was empty-handed. She ran into some nearby bushes to cry, and suddenly she heard the voice of a little boy. The little boy said, "Don't cry. Take these plants and leave them on the altar for baby Jesus." And the little girl decided to listen to the voice, and she grabbed the plants. She walked into the church, and she was still embarrassed about her offering because she felt like it was nothing compared to all these nice toys that these other kids had. But when she placed the green plant onto the altar, it miraculously formed into a beautiful red color with the shape of a star. And from then on, this flower was used in Mexico and then, like, everywhere else during Christmas time. And this flower, the Quetzalcóchil, was used by indigenous people for medicinal purposes, for ceremonies, and for decorations. On the 8th of December, the town of Taxco, it's T-A-X-C-O, I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Yeah, I think it's Taxco.
Taxco, okay. Of Taxco, Guerrero, they put up this giant monument that's, like, miles long, and it's made of this flower.
I saw that. I would love to see that in real life.
It looks beautiful. I'll be posting pictures.
I hope that even though you may or may not be religious, enjoy these stories behind many traditions in Latin America, as they are a big part of Latin American culture and play a huge role in Latinidad. Now on to traditions that was a huge part of my life, posadas. Posadas is celebrated widely throughout Latin America. It is celebrated between December 16th through the 24th. Yeah, it consists of reenactments of Mary and Joseph's pilgrimage to Bethlehem and seeking shelter there. Two people dress up, one as Mary and one as Joseph. And sometimes if they are able to acquire a donkey, it too will be part of the retelling. So each night starting December 16th, the people who play Mary and Joseph will lead the townspeople from the plaza to one home each night. Each home represents an inn where Joseph and Mary seek shelter. And each day they are turned away. So they go to one home each day, rejected each day until the 24th, in which the final home gives them shelter and they are sent to the manger, where on the early hours of the 25th, Mary gives birth to Jesus. In this tradition, the streets are filled with music, mariachi, banda. You will see a mixture of indigenous and European traditions. Many people will dress in traditional Mexican outfits. On the 24th, the townsfolk will celebrate with piñatas, pyrotechnics, music, treats, amazing food, not really gifts. I feel like kids are given treat bags. Is that how? Yeah, they don't really do gifts on Christmas. But they filled with, you know, treat bags filled with candy, oranges, and peanuts. Christmas in Mexico, at least, is not a gift-giving holiday. You give treats and stuff to kids, but not to adults. In Latin America countries, it is a day of worship. It is not about materialism, but family, togetherness, and above all for religious people, it is the day you celebrate Jesus. And church is held at midnight on the 25th. So usually on the 24th, late at night, the town heads towards the church and has Misa de Gallo, midnight mass in English, which is roughly translated to rooster mass.
Oh, I always heard of midnight mass.
Yeah, I know, but like the Misa de Gallo, if you translate it.
That's true.
In literal translation, is rooster mass, which I always found weird because I'm like.
It sounds more fun than midnight mass.
That is true. That is true. You know, Latinos, they have to make everything. Everything, what's it called? Extra. The 25th is the day of worship for Catholics. So it's a day to spend with family. And, you know, rest. It's a day of rest and recalentado.
And yeah. So when you reheat the tamales.
Or any food that you make. And for some reason, I don't know why, but whenever you have recalentado, it's like extra, like it's better than the day before.
The food is better. Yeah.
I don't know why. The next morning when you wake up early in your pajamas and you have your cafecito and your recalentado.
Yes. Did you go to or do posadas as a kid too?
Like, yes. I lived in San Francisco as a child, and we lived about a block from, I believe it, the church is called St. Charles. It's off of the Mission Street, you know, the big street, one of the big streets in San Francisco.
Yeah, I remember it.
And we would go there every year, and it was like it was a community event. Like, you didn't have to be. I saw people who weren't even Catholic there, and the church would, every person who goes there, they would have donations, and they would send everybody home with lots of food, you know, for families to, regardless if they could or could not, could have a really good Christmas dinner. I remember that.
We went to similar ones like that in Oakland too, and they were super fun.
It's so much fun.
We had family ones, like we would all gather, and then like we would, before we came in, like the house, we would all sing like a little Christmas jingle. Like it was usually Los Peces en el Mar, Nadan y Nadan or something.
Oh, I remember that one.
We would get to my uncle's house or aunt's house, and we would like sing that before they let us in.
That's so cute though. See, my family doesn't do that. We're not very like family oriented.
I mean, we did it back when we had like a family and everybody was in the same place. Now it's not a thing.
Yeah, same. Like, I know posadas are still a thing. I see people post them up every year. I think they have like, you know, that big church in Modesto. But I think the only church that does it in Modesto was the one off of Mays.
Oh, yeah. Posadas are big in Guatemala, too.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's like a, it's like a 9-day festival.
Yeah.
And this is like, I'm talking about, they go out every day, you guys. It is so much fun. It's extra as heck.
Yeah.
There's so much food. And then I think in like some places, maybe like in El DF, they have probably vendors and each one selling, you know, hundreds of different types of food. So if you are ever invited to one, I would suggest you go. It is so much fun. There's music, there's dancing, there's, again, food. And it's just, it's a tradition that very much a community holiday. It's not like, oh, we're just going to go home and it's just going to be, I don't know, like 10 of us. In Latin communities, usually if it is pretty much the whole neighborhood that comes together to celebrate. And it's a, I mean, religion aside, it is a beautiful sense of community. Like, I had some of my best memories going to posadas.
Yeah. We had already decided we were going to talk about posadas because they're like a huge thing, celebrating Christmas and, you know, Latino culture. But I just learned today while scrolling Facebook that posadas are, they have Aztec roots. During the posadas, you'll usually see a piñata, and the piñata is like a 7-pointed star. And this actually came from Aztec beliefs for the 7 sacred directions. It celebrated, or it coincided with the winter solstice in, I can't say it, Teotihuacan.
Teotihuacan.
Yes. So Aztec priests were celebrating their most important deity. So they would fill a clay pot with little tiny treasures, which is where piñatas come from. They would fill this clay pot with little tiny treasures, and it was meant to be broken as an offering to the god. Oh my god, Huitzilopochtli.
You got it.
Yes,
it's the same one we've been talking about.
But yeah. So posadas are an Aztec thing.
Oh, and then also I would like to point out that the piñatas here we have in the States are made out of cardboard, whereas the ones in Mexico are usually, from what I know, always made out of clay. So that tradition of the clay piñata is still very much alive.
They're not the same?
Not the same.
Should I get into different festivities in Latin America?
Yes.
Awesome. So we already talked about posadas. They're big in Guatemala, but Puerto Rico and Cuba, they also have a more intense version of posadas that they call parrandas. And they're even larger and there's way more singing involved. Like just straight. It's like a straight party, which I want to partake in.
I want to. Yes, that sounds like fun.
In Venezuela and a lot of other places too. But it's baby Jesus that brings the gifts. Not, you know, Santa. And on Christmas Eve, they have these things called patinatas, which it's a giant street party. And there's like rollerblading and bike riding, because apparently rollerblades and bikes are common gifts for children during this time. So they just have like a giant skating / bike party.
I need to start this.
That sounds amazing.
That does. I know for a fact that I would eat floor, but worth it.
Yeah. In Peru, they're super famous for beautiful nativity scenes. They have a countrywide competition for them. And they have, they look super pretty. I was looking at pictures of them, which I will also be posting.
It sounds like so. There's so many, like, I feel like, okay, don't get me wrong. Christmas here, like the traditions here are, you know, great and all that. But I feel like every single Latin country just takes it up.
It's better,
it's
right?
Sounds like so much fun.
In El Salvador, there's an extensive and elaborate firework display that like tops the 4th of July here on Christmas Eve. Although apparently there's been a lot of like accidents, so they're kind of like toning it down on that.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
We'll tone it down.
In Ecuador, they do a similar thing like posadas and parrandas. So it's 9 days of singing leading up to Christmas Day. In Colombia, they begin celebrations on the 7th of December with this thing called El Día de las Velitas, the Day of the Little Candles. And people place paper lanterns all over the place, in the streets, parks, windowsills. And it's in honor of the Virgin Mary. And it also looks super cool. In Uruguay, it's a little different because it's a secular country. So they don't call it Christmas. They call it Family Day. But the gatherings are the same. Lots of food and family. In Chile, they call it Pascua, not Christmas. And they have this super good dessert that, it looks good. I've never had it, but it's called pan de Pascua.
It's Pascua for me is Easter. Is that the same thing?
Yes, but not over there.
I was like, Pascua? I was like, Easter? What?
Yeah. And then there was, I didn't write it down, but there's one other place that also calls it Pascua, not Christmas. Oh, and this one is, I think, my favorite one. So in Belize, they also have posadas, but one amazing tradition of the Garifuna people in Belize takes place on Christmas afternoon. So they have these dancers called Jankunu dancers, and they dress in white long sleeve shirts with pants that have belts of shells on them, and they wear pink masks. And the pink masks are meant to imitate enslavers. And this whole dance is meant to like make fun of enslavers. And this became a thing because Christmas time was the only time that the enslaved Garifuna could come together. It was the only time that the enslavers, like, you know, let them not force them, you know, mm-hmm. and they could gather with their family. And so they would put on these pink masks and just make fun of enslavers. And I was like, wow, that one is super fun. Oh, and another thing, girl, at least we did this. Oh my God, I didn't write down the country that does this, but it sounded so familiar to me because I think we've done it in the past. It's not Mexico, but there's a one Latin American country where they put their shoes out at night. And then this is where they play people, like, obviously it's parents, not baby Jesus, but they'll place gifts in the shoes.
I have that. I grew up with that. And that is,
what is Mexican then? I think, and other places do it too.
Yeah, no, but again, it's like, I think all Latin American countries have this because I believe Spain has this. I know Las Posadas started in Spain. It's a Spanish.
Yeah, and it meshed together with the Aztec
and now every country celebrates it, but there's like regional differences. But yeah. I think what you're talking about is el Día de los Reyes Magos. That's when
oh, that's when it. You put the shoes out?
That's when I push, which...
What a perfect segue, because that's what you're talking about.
Yes. So we're going to talk about this. For me growing up, this was my Christmas. Día de los Reyes Magos is a Day of the Three Magi. It's celebrated on January 6th, and it's traditionally the gift-exchanging holiday in Latin America. It is very similar to the American Christmas. Like, well, I want to say it's like, yeah, I guess it's American. Is it English-speaking country, though? I did say it was.
I mean, we can just call it Christmas, very similar to Christmas.
Yeah, it's so in Latin America, we don't really do, in Latin American culture, it's not really Santa who brings the gifts. We do have Papa Noel, which is who we call Santa, but he's not. Ever what? Given, yeah, you never grew up with that?
He's only big in like two, like Brazil, I think they're big on Papa Noel, but like us growing up, it was baby Jesus.
Yeah, it was baby Jesus or the three magi who brought you gifts. It was never Santa.
Yeah, same.
So like when everybody else on Christmas was opening presents, my family does this now too, but growing up, it wasn't a thing. We opened presents on January 6th. The day of the three magi. And again, we have, I grew up knowing who Papa Noel was, but he was not like a big character in Christmas. Like he was just there.
Yeah, I feel like we barely talked about him. It was, we knew who Santa was, but yeah, our presents were Christmas Day. We stayed up till midnight to open them. Mm-hmm. And then, and it was like a small gift. And then there was a second small gift on Dia de los Reyes. But yeah. it was never Papa Noel or Santa for us.
It wasn't until like I have my kids that we started calling it Santa. But that's because Andrew does that. Like Andrew's side of the family and all that stuff does that. But growing up, and it makes more sense if it's the three magi because they are the ones who brought Jesus, you know, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They're the ones who actually gave gifts during this time. So it makes more sense to actually gift exchange on January 6th and not December 24th, 25th, which again, in Latin American culture now, we open presents on the 24th. We Latinos have like three Christmases.
Yeah.
We have the 24th because that's what we do. In my family, we do the open gifts on the 24th. And then we go to my kid, like, you know, like Andrew's, my husband's other family on the 25th. And then on the 6th, we do more presents. On January 6th, we do more presents. Honestly, Latin American culture is pretty awesome. We have three Christmases, like celebrations.
And which one is the day that you have that pan? And
then whoever gets... Yeah, it's the same thing. El Día de los Reyes Magos. There's a lot of, like... stuff that goes into this day. So first, the night before January 6th, children usually, I mean, I guess adults can do it too, who's stopping you, but but children leave their shoes outside their room by their door. And it is believed, this is how I grew up, that the three magi will come visit your home and leave you gifts. It placed sometimes inside your shoe, depending on the size or next to your shoes. So, because, you know, it's like, oh, these are so-and-so's shoes. This is where his gift would go. So you know where, whose is what, I guess. And usually, as I got older, it would be money that was placed into your shoe. You know, we'd wake up. There's like 10-year-old me waking up, opening, you know, my bedroom door. And in my shoes, there's like a $20, $30. It was awesome. I need to bring that back. Hopefully I'll get some as an adult.
Someone put something in my shoes now.
So this is what you do the morning of January 6th. You know, your kids would usually go check on their shoes, see what the three magi brought them. And then later that day, again, you have another feast, and usually consisting of tamales, but sometimes you could do whatever. Pozole, tamales.
Always pozole or tamales, nothing else for us.
I already planned. Yeah, that's what I'm also doing for Christmas, pozole and tamales.
I'm just doing tamales because I don't know how to make either one. I just buy the tamales.
My mom's making me make them from scratch, so I got work to do. But I don't do them by myself. I do them with the help of my mom because I know for a fact.
You need help. We had like a factory going.
Yeah. Yes, that too. One part of Christmas is that when the whole family gets together, everybody goes to the kitchen and there starts a factory assembly line of the
tamales. I forgot. Yeah. I forgot to mention that when I was talking about different cultures, but in pretty much every single country, there's tamaladas or pasteladas, which is what the some other places call tamales. But yeah, everybody gathers and makes tamales, and this takes place before the 24th.
Yeah. So usually around the 23rd, or if, you know, family doesn't get there till the 24th, it's very early on the 24th. I would usually wake up around 5 to get the day started to make tamales. And you, like the whole, I wouldn't say the whole family, but if you're a you know, little kid or, you know, the cook of the family, you all go to the kitchen. Like there's like, what, like 10, 15 people in the kitchen, and you all sit down and you all have a job to do. You know, some people will, you know, wrap the tamales. Other people will put the meat in the tamal. You know, so other people would do the masa. So it depends on what your skill level is, but it really isn't a factory assembly line.
Yeah, Carmen and I would put the meat in the tamales.
Yeah.
Because the meat was already cooked. We didn't do that.
Every country, for some reason, has the tamal. Like
every country has a tamal, yeah.
Their own version of a tamal. And it's awesome. I like the Guatemalan tamales. They're good. I suggest everybody try them. To go back to Dia de los Reyes Magos. So, you know, you have your tamal, your pozole, or whatever it is that you're making that day. And then when the whole family comes together on Dia de los Reyes Magos, you do this thing called Rosca de Reyes, which is a bread in an oval shape, and then it has like candied fruit on top, and it symbolizes a crown. So it's in the shape of an oval, like a oval donut, right?
Yeah.
And then it has little like candied fruits on top of different colors, and the candied fruits symbolize the crystals on a crown. Somebody cuts usually the matriarch or the patriarch of the family, whoever, you know, is the head of the family, cuts the slices and gives everybody a slice of Rosca de Reyes. And inside one or two of the slices, there is a baby Jesus. And whoever gets the baby Jesus, you know, is the person who is in charge of hosting and cooking a party on February the 2nd. So, you know, that is one tradition. Nobody wants to get baby Jesus in their bread.
Oh my God, Carmen. Carmen got it when we were like 10. And my mom was like, oh, Carmen, you had to throw a party and organize it. And she was like, no, mom.
Yeah, no, it's like so funny. Nobody wants the baby. Like whenever you eat the rosca, it's like that.
My favorite part was watching the reaction of whoever got the baby.
The party is on it's for February 2nd, and February 2nd is Dia de la Candelaria, which is Candlemas in English. That I looked it up, and that's what came up. And it's the day that is celebrating the Jesus being presented to the temple, to the Jewish temple.
Oh my God, I had no idea why ever. My whole entire life, I was like, why is it on February 2nd?
Yeah, so it's actually another Catholic holiday. On Dia de los Reyes Magos, you know, you have this little, what is it like? It's not even a raffle. What is it? Like a bread raffle. raffle.
Who's like an unlucky bread raffle.
Yes. And Dia de los Reyes Magos, just like Christmas, kids are given treats. The treats consist of candy, peanuts, and oranges. At least that's the way it was when I grew up. You get a little bag of food treats. And the orange comes are a symbol for gold coins that the real Santa, Saint Nicholas of Myra, Myra? Is it Myra?
I have no idea. This is all new information for me. I never looked into why we got these things.
Saint Nicholas of Myra would give during on Christmas poor families gold sacks of gold coins so they can marry their daughters, because back then parents of women had to pay their husbands, weird but okay, the dowry.
What the hell?
Yes, it's I think that's so dumb, and I think some places still do that, dowries.
Wow. Okay.
But if you didn't have money to pay a dowry, nobody was going to marry your daughter. So the only option for a lot of these women were to become woman of the night. And you know, because
oh my god,
because what were they going to do once their parents died? They're on their own. They had to eat. They had to find a way to get food. So this was their only option. So because Saint Nicholas didn't like this, he during Christmas would throw sacks of gold coins at, you know, inside people's chimneys, which again goes back to the Santa Claus, you know, coming down the chimney. So people, parents, would have money to marry off their daughters so they wouldn't become prostitutes. And as time went on, oranges became a sign of luxury because, you know, we're rarely pampered today. We could get oranges year round, but back then to have them in cold places was a luxury. And then the orange became a symbol of the gold that Saint Nicholas would give these poor families. So now around the world, oranges are very part of a big part of Christmas traditions. For me growing up, it was just part of something that you were given as a treat during either for both Christmas and Dia de los Reyes Magos. You got oranges on both occasions, and that's where it comes from. So interesting. The real Santa is a patron saint of many things, but because of this, he's also the patron saint of prostitutes. So,
you know what? I like Santa now. No, not that I didn't like him before. We have to say he's the patron saint of sex workers now, because that's what we call them.
So if you are a religious sex worker, this is the person you pray to.
And so to end this episode, we're gonna end it because we are a spooky tales. I had to dig and dig for a spooky Christmas story, and I found one. I don't know where it took place, supposedly, you know, but it was in Spanish and I translated it myself to English, and like I said before, I'm not perfect, so don't correct me. So this legend that I found is titled in Spanish El Mendigo de la Navidad, which I thought mendigo was like another word for maldito, so like a bastard is what I thought.
That's what I thought. Wasn't
but
it?
Apparently it's the Christmas beggar in English.
What? Hold on. I got to Google this. Oh, this means beggar. Yeah. What?
Yeah. I
thought
it meant
bastard.
So I thought this was going to be called the Christmas bastard, and I was like, sweet. But it's the Christmas beggar.
I'm learning new things every day.
Right? Oh my. This has been a knowledgeable Friday for me.
Okay, so mendigo, pobre diosero, pobre.
On to the story, though. It was the 25th of December, and these families were enjoying staying away from the cold weather. They were all inside with their yummy, delicious food, hot chocolate, rompope, cup of coffee, whatever. Except one old man who was not doing this. He was outside sitting on a rock, and the streets were completely empty except for him. And he was dressed in old, tattered clothes. He was knocking from door to door, asking for food and for help. And his pleas were unanswered by everyone. Everyone just shut the door on him. They were like, get out of here. And one lady, Doña Panchita, opened her door for him. He didn't even finished knocking when she has already opened the door, invited him inside. Her whole family was there, her son, nueras, what's that in English?
Daughter-in-laws. Yeah.
Yeah, sons, daughter-in-laws, grandbabies, the whole family was there. And they let this man in. They fed him. They put a warm blanket around him, gave him some cafecito. The man was grateful. He thanked them and went on his way. But the moment he set foot outside of the town, there was a giant red X that appeared on every single door of the people that ignored his pleas, which was literally everyone in this town except for Doña Panchita. After the red X's appeared, the red X's turned into fire and the houses were engulfed in flames. The old man was suddenly not an old man. He went from like an old man to like this person with horns on his head and hoofed feet. And guess what? He was the devil. Satan himself was laughing at all these people with their houses on fire. The townspeople stared in horror as they saw him walking in between the flames. He walked through the town and he was like pointing at people. And every time he pointed at people, they were dragged down to hell. There was like hands reaching up from these flames. And Panchita and her family could only stare. They were unaffected. Their house was not on fire, but the entire town was. And all they could see was everyone they knew just disappearing in these flames. And then all of a sudden, the devil was gone. And Panchita could leave her house. So she walked around and saw all the destruction. She went to the place where the old man was sitting in the beginning. It was a rock. And there was her deceased husband as a ghost. And he said to her, continue helping those in need and this family will not suffer as the rest of the townspeople have, because the devil will wander on this day looking for souls to take.
Oh.
Bam.
That's creepy.
Right? Yeah. I can't even let us enjoy Christmas, apparently.
That's strange. This goes to kind of like the folklore. Well, no, I don't want to say folklore, but growing up like in a really strict religious household, I was always told como leyendas that there's angels that walk the earth and they will constantly test people to see if they are good-hearted. So sometimes good angels would ask you for, help. And, if you declined it, it's like maldecido por Dios or something like that.
Fuck that.
That was like a legend. Like, you always have to be, helpful, because sometimes there's angels who dress as beggars and they will ask for help. And you're either going to be blessed for eternity or, judged.
And, that's probably why we don't have like a major evil Christmas thing. Because, Europe, all over Europe, there's Belsnickel, there's Krampus.
Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of like demon-like things that go around and,
they're like scary Christmas stories. And we don't have any. We don't have like this evil Christmas spirit legend, and that's why we don't need it, because they spend all our lives scaring us with other shit.
I know, like the Latino community is a very not superstitious, well, I guess maybe superstitious, but very a spiritual community, let's just put it that way. Yeah. And it is a spooky time. 365,
it is always a spooky season.
You get together with your family, it doesn't matter what day it is, what time it is, if the whole family's there, it will always break out in cuentos from el rancho or scare, like, all the time. Like,
always. Yeah. And for some reason, I had one tío who would always, like, share the same story about he was leaning on a wall once and then, like, hands reached for him. And it always happened when I was leaning on a wall and I would, like, push away from the wall, scared as fuck.
You know what's funny?
Hands are gonna get me.
I've heard of stories of hands coming off the walls. I would have to dig, into, stories that I've read. But he's not the first person that I've heard that from. My mom used to tell me that after a certain time of night, if you have a doll and if it's really late at night, the devil would inhabit the body and
so you would stay asleep at night.
Yes. And I still remember that because she used to tell me all the time. And that still stuck with me. That's probably why I don't like the stupid elf on the shelf.
Right? Then, but yeah, this is why we don't have like the scary Christmas legend that a bunch of
we're European, too traumatized. We've been traumatized as children.
It's year round for us.
Yeah, it really is. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's just always, it's always like that. That's the culture. Doesn't matter what you getting together as a family, somebody is going to start with, I saw this, or I had experience with the
Llorona. Oh my God, yeah. Oh, ¿se acuerdan? Do you remember in El Rancho, back in the farm, when so we heard this noise, like, and no, then
and
bam.
And then when you're at somebody else's house, and then you're like, your parents are like, oh, it's God, time to yeah. leave. And you're like, what? Wait, we're leaving? We're going into the dark?
Yeah.
We have to walk through the entire front yard to get to our car in the dark.
But I feel like this is a good place to wrap yes. up. Like we said already, we will be covering shadow people. And like the Hat Man is part of that.
Yes, right? the Hat Man, which is probably yeah, so. The only famous shadow figure in the world.
Yeah, so we'll be discussing that next episode. So we hope to... Not see you. I was going to say, we hope to see you then. We hope you listen then. Happy holidays. Thanks for listening. Check us out on all our socials. They're linked in the show notes. And if you have time, if you like leaving reviews, it takes like, you know, 2 minutes. It really helps us out with like visibility and making the show more, what's it called? Findable? That's not a word. Searchable. But whatever. Yeah. If you if we have more ratings, so yeah, you know what, give us that for Christmas. Yes, a 5-star rating.
5-star rating. Yes, on we can do. Is Apple Podcasts the only place you could do that, or are the other podcast services?
It's like the biggest one, but Podchaser lets you do it, and then I don't know of another one.
Listen, if your podcast streaming service that you use, if it lets you leave a comment, leave a comment. Please, for
yes,
of, yeah, for Christmas or for whatever holiday you celebrate, let it be our gift.
Yes, yeah. But yeah, thank you. We'll catch you next week.
Bye.